amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And what a blessing it is just to sense the presence of God in this place. It's just what we pray for all week long, that God would use this church as a place of refuge for not only its membership, but for anybody that would come through the doors of this church. And I trust that you sense the presence of God in this place as well. Luke chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2, if you would look there with me. Going to read verse 8 down to verse 11. I believe this is a message that God would have me to preach tonight, being the last Sunday before Christmas. And we just stayed with our regular series on Sunday morning because I thought, as God led, I thought that was something that all of us need to understand, is being a friend of God's. And God prepared us to be a friend to others through Christ. And tonight, Luke in chapter 2, if you would go ahead and stand with me and we'll read the Word of God together. This is after the birth of Jesus. An angel reveals some things to first lowly shepherds, the lowly shepherds here in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you, and again, we thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that you make available to us to assemble ourselves together. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for this precious word that we hold to. And I pray, God, tonight as we have read this passage of Scripture, that you would empower the preaching of thy word to help all of us to have a better understanding and receive the blessing that's associated with this truth. Pray that you would just use me once again to present your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Scriptures that we have before us here represent the very mind of God. It's what God has preserved for us until the rapture of the church. Jesus came, fulfilled the Old Testament, presented to us a new covenant, presented the New Testament Scriptures, and we've had these for some 2,000 years now, and it's what we need in order to make it through and to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish in this church age. And so we find here that God knew that we would need this truth in this 21st century America. And what he reveals to us is what the angels, after the birth of Christ, revealed to shepherds. And it is, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings, which is news. I'm bringing to you a news, something that you would not have understood, something that you would not have known, but I'm bringing this to you now. This is good tidings or good news of something that can bring you great joy. Good news that God reveals is able to bring great joy. Every time you think about it. Every time you just think about the news that God presented to us. Can I tell you, it's to all people, just not to Lighthouse Baptist Church, it's just not to English-speaking people, it's to all people. a news that is worldwide, that can bring great joy worldwide. This great news, which shall be to all people, a Savior is born. Christ the Lord. Wow. For some 2,000 years, it has brought so many people great joy. And it's still bringing great joy to all who believe. Because it's great joy when you believe. Sometimes we turn on the news, a lot of time it's fake news. It's unbelievable, you just turn it off. Didn't help me, didn't hurt me. Sometimes we do hear news that brings sorrow. We just heard of all the devastation that just happened here, and it brings great sorrow to hear sad news. If we think about that, it could continue to bring sorrow. We have to be aware of things around us. We have to be aware of world news. We have to be aware of what we're dealing with, even with the COVID and all the different things. And that's a whole nother topic, but it's things that are not going to bring you joy. But if you want to have great joy, think about the news that was born, that was brought to humanity some 2,000 years ago. And God's recorded it for us to understand it. A Savior, it's great joy when you believe. When you believe all that God has revealed to us in the Bible. And it can bring great news. See, first, I'm a sinner on my way to a devil's hell. That's sad news. It's true. It's sad to think that people are dying without Christ and going to a devil's hell. Hell is real, no doubt about it. If heaven's real, hell's got to be real. God's revealed actually more about hell than he does about heaven in the scriptures. It's real. So when I hear that I'm a sinner and the wage of sin is death or separation from God for an eternity in a place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels, and all who will reject Christ will follow them into this place, that brings sadness. Sadness. But then I realize and I hear the good news of Jesus offering me a gift of everlasting eternal life. You know my testimony. I've had it many times. I love to give it because it, whenever it applies. But as an 8-year-old, I was in a Sunday school room. A teacher taught on hell, and it brought sorrow. Not only sorrow, it brought me to tears. To think that I was a sinner and that there was a place of hell. And because I was a sinner, the wages of sin was death, and that death was separation from God, and that death was going to take me to a devil's hell. And I remember tears flooding my face. I mean, he dismissed the class, and I'm sitting in my chair, scared to death, thinking about I'm a sinner, and there's a place, it's real. There's a place of hell. I wouldn't even get out of my chair. Sunday school teacher come back there knowing exactly what was taking place. I come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he introduced me to Jesus Christ. After I called upon the name of the Lord, can I tell you that those tears turned from sorrow to great joy? Because now I realize I don't have to go to a devil's hell because I've received a gift of everlasting life, and that gift of everlasting life was given to me by God's only begotten Son. And as an 8-year-old, that was the best news of my life up to that point. The best news of my life is that I was saved and on my way to heaven instead of a devil's hell. That very next Monday, the next day, I went into my third grade class, Sunday, my third grade teacher, public school, and I said, "Mrs. Payne, I've got to tell the class something." And she said, "Well, what do you have to tell the class, Dan?" And I said, "I got saved yesterday, and they can be saved too." Because it brought to me great joy. And I didn't want anybody else to be sad. I wanted everyone to receive the great joy. Through the last 57 years, I'm getting old. Yeah. The more I've learned, the greater my rejoicing. I remember hearing about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I didn't hear about that in the church that I was attending. Southern Baptist Church taught salvation, but they shied away from anything that had to do with the Holy Spirit because they were afraid they was going to be linked to the charismatic crowd. And so instead of preaching on it, it was a non-issue. As a teenager, I wondered why I couldn't go out and live in sin like all the others and enjoy that sin. I could go out and do it, but I could tell they were enjoying it, and I was under conviction by being out there. And God would chasten me, and I'd get back in church, and as I get back in church, and I would ask for His forgiveness and want to live right because I was saved. I knew that Jesus was my Savior. But then I would forget about what I went through and the chastisement, and I would find myself right back in sin again. And I'd come under the conviction. I'd find myself back in and out of church. And I went to a fundamental independent Baptist church, and the very first series that the pastor was in when I started going was a series on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, when I understood about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it made perfect sense of my entire Christian life, from 8 years old to a teenage year to a teenager. Now I knew why I could not enjoy the sin as others, because I had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And can I tell you, when I understood, when I learned that truth, it brought me great joy. Because I understood the difference. It made the difference in my life. I heard about the rapture. I'd heard about it. I didn't fully understand it, but he broke it down and I learned of the reality of the rapture of the church, and that because I was saved, I was part of that body of Christ. And he was going to, if he came in my lifetime, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And not only did I find great joy in a rapture, but I found great joy in knowing that I was going to receive a glorified body. This is good news. It was great tidings of great joy. It was things that I can still think about, and I can find myself rejoicing over the truth of the good news that God has revealed to me. And the more that I've learned, the more that He's revealed to me, the greater my joy, the more I can rejoice. Yeah. my Savior. I remember the first time I went to the ocean. In school, I had learned about the ocean. I believed the ocean to be there, but I thought, I'm in Indiana, why do I need to know about the ocean? Somebody tries to sell me oceanfront property in Indiana, I know that's a hoax. But I always heard about the ocean. When I was old enough, I went on a journey myself. I rode a motorcycle all the way from Indiana to Florida. First time I'd ever been to Florida. First time, as I remember, I'd ever even been out of the state. And I remember going up and I looked out on the road going toward the ocean. And I seen the view of the ocean for the very first time. And I remember thinking, wow, I've heard about it all my life, but I've never seen it. But that wasn't what brought me the most joy. What brought me the most joy is when I got into the ocean and I tasted the water. I'm thinking, what is this? I'm a teenager. I rode down there on a motorcycle with two or three other guys that went with us. And after I had heard about salt water my whole teenage life, my school class, I've heard about the ocean, heard about salt water. I never put the two together, that it's actually salt water. Because I never even thought about it, because I didn't live on the ocean. I didn't need to know about it. It's just something I heard, went in one ear, out the other ear. But then I come to the place where I was actually in the water, and I remember just laughing. I remember thinking, it's actually salt water. And I thought, all my life, I heard about it. I never put it together. I tell you, there's a lot of people today that hear about salvation, that hear about the birth of Jesus Christ, that hear about the only begotten Son of God, given virgin born, all the things that have to do with Christmas time. But you never put it all together. And you're losing out on the greatest joy known to mankind. The reality of having Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Wow. Good tidings of great joy. See, because when you believe and receive Jesus, whether you realize it or not, your life changes. I was different as an 8-year-old boy. I didn't understand it. It didn't really impact my life as much. I just knew that I was saved. And I was going to go to heaven when I died. And that brought great joy. But then when I started living life, I realized something's different. And my life had changed because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things are become new. You might not even know it, but you're not the same person. Everything about your life has changed. If you're truly saved, you changed. You might not understand it. And if you don't understand it, you're not receiving the joy that God wants you to have. If you're not living it, you're not receiving the joy that God wants you to receive these tidings of great joy. But if you're saved, your life has changed. And the most miserable person, you've heard me say this before, is not the lost man. He can enjoy living in sin. The most miserable person is not the saved man. The most miserable person is a saved man trying to live like a lost man. I was there. Yeah. See, salvation is real, but it requires faith to believe. Not just faith to know about it. I knew about the ocean. I seen pictures of the ocean. I read and probably had a few tests on what the ocean was made up of. But until I seen it, until I tasted the water, I really didn't understand. No one can be saved with just the information. To be saved, it takes faith to believe. Over in the book of Mark in chapter 9, we find a story that Jesus reveals to us in the scriptures. The man that had a son who wanted Jesus to heal him. And the Bible says in chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe. See, in order for me to heal your son, in order for me to answer your prayer, have to believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, and that's key. I believe you to be Lord. I'm calling you Lord. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe God will honor that prayer as he honored this man's prayer. I want to believe everything that the Bible says. Can I tell you, it's unbelievable without faith? It goes beyond my comprehension of how a virgin could have conceived and gave birth to a child. That goes beyond my understanding. It takes faith in God to do something that's unbelievable. When it comes to a creator God, it takes faith to believe in creation. Can I tell you, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation? There's a lot more holes in evolution. But we have nature. We have everything that God has created as proof. Amen. To believe in God. Don't limit God to what your human mind can understand. Don't limit God to what your human mind can believe. Have faith in God, and you can believe all things. Yeah. Wow. Lord, I want to believe. I do believe you're Lord. I want to believe you can do it. Help thou my unbelief, because I want to grow my faith. If you want to grow your faith, you can grow your faith. And if you want to believe, there is faith available to you to believe everything that the Bible says. There's faith for you to believe that heaven's real. And Jesus offers you a gift of eternal life in heaven through simply believing and receiving him. We believe in God. You can have faith to believe the entire Bible. John in chapter 14. John in chapter 14. That's what Jesus wanted his disciples to understand. In John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. That's First of all, that is key to all other faith, all other beliefs. If you can't believe in God, you can't be saved. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He says, believe also in me. Believe in my being the Messiah. Believing in God sending me. Believing the truth that I'm revealing to you. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Mansions, spiritual mansions in glory. Really? Not in outer space, not on another planet. But a mansion in glory. A spiritual mansion, spiritual glory. A different atmosphere. Can't believe in that. Because I'm not equipped. I do not have the capacity to believe in that without faith in God. Because man can't do that. But God can. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. Great joy. Yeah. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Can I tell you, great joy comes from believing God's word. If you're not experiencing joy, you're blinded to God's word. You're blinded to God's promises. You're blinded to the things that will bring you great joy. Yeah. One more illustration and we're done here. But Acts in chapter 8, I believe that most everyone would understand. If you know the Bible, you understand. You know of this story of the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts in chapter 8, verse 26 down to verse 39. Verse 26, this is how it starts. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Someone who had received Jesus Christ, had faith to believe, and now was being used of God. Saying, arise and go toward the south and unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. This Ethiopian man was searching for spiritual truth. He wanted to hear the good tidings that would bring him great joy. And God sent Philip to be a friend. Philip had received Jesus Christ, and God had sent somebody to help Philip to get saved. And once Philip got saved, as we preached on this morning, he became the friend of God. And as the friend of God, Jesus Christ has saved us so that he might lead us to be a friend to someone else who can help someone else to know the truth that will bring them great joy of life. So God used Philip to be a friend. And as a true friend, Philip preached unto him Jesus, because he knew that's what he needed. He understood that to be the truth. Yeah. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. If you're saved, can I tell you that that's exactly what God would have each and every one of us to do? Is take the good news that brings great joy into our lives and tell others about it. Especially those in whom need a friend. You can be the friend that they need, and you can be the one that can help them to find this great joy. Philip preached unto him Jesus, the theme of the Bible. In verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Possibly he had some understanding of John the Baptist, who introduced water baptism. And now he's wanting to separate the two. He's wanting to understand the difference between the two. And we find here that Philip helps him with the truths. And he says, and Philip said, if thou believest, whether it's salvation or whether it's identification with Jesus Christ through believer's baptism, it's based on faith to believe. If thou believest with all thine heart and thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is what it takes to be able to be baptized. According to the word of God, being saved allows you this gift of everlasting life. And then being baptized, it allows you to find the joy in identifying with the Savior in his death and his burial and his resurrection. And can I tell you, when I think back to when I was baptized, I knew that I was saved, and it brought me great joy because it was a personal decision that I made to follow Jesus, who was my Savior. Yeah, baptism brings you great joy when you stop and think about what it is, what it symbolizes. And then lastly, verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, he had the assurance of salvation. He had the assurance of identifying with Christ through believer's baptism. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way with great joy, rejoicing. Now some look at that and they say, well, which one went on their way rejoicing? Both of them. Philip, because he was used by God to help somebody come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and follow him in believer's baptism, who now has this for the rest of their life to bring to them great joy. And then the eunuch that got saved, he had the rest of his life to thank God for eternal salvation, which is great joy. God's recorded good tidings of great joy for all of us to be blessed by. If I could have every head bowed this evening. You want great joy? Think about Jesus. Think about when you had faith to believe and you called upon him and you started learning about what that meant, what that brings into your life, and you start learning more about scriptures and what God's revealed to us about life and heaven, and the more we learn, the greater joy. Do you have it tonight? Have you heard it, but you've never really stopped to consider that the water in the ocean is actually salt water? That you must have faith to believe and to receive the gift that will bring you great joy. Father, we bow before you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word. how that you preserved them for us that we can read it and study it and hear it preached and have the Holy Spirit of God take it and apply it to our own individual lives. I pray right now that's what you'll do in this invitation. Help each and every one here to see things as they need to see things so they can turn to you and receive this tidings of great joy for themselves. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.